today on Real Radio.
All false ministries and all of false crowds, you'll know them by their fruits eventually. The lifestyle that comes out of the teachings that they're in association with will come out. It will come out. It's going to happen.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now in a message called Eyes On, Ears On, Part 2, continues a series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. Now, Peter lived out his life as a true man of God, but he didn't start out that way. Peter was quick to act and slow to listen. Still, Peter's heart was in the right place, and Jesus began to use him in a mighty way. Peter's letters are a testament of how the Christ follower can move from needing constant strength and encouragement to having a combat militant kind of faith, armed with the truth and ready for battle. As we learned in part one of this message, keeping our eyes on and ears on is a military term that means we're watching, we're listening, and we're ready for anything. There are false prophets and false ministries who are bent on leading us astray, but the more we know the truth found in God's Word, the more we'll see how God sustains us and keeps His promises all the way through to the end. So today on day two of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that those who follow false ministries draw in false crowds. The Bible warns us that Jesus will deny knowing many who claim to follow Him but are really following a different gospel, unless the Holy Spirit is gathering the people and the message is inspired by Scripture. It is not from God. And now in his message called Eyes On, Ears On, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
If you have doubts today about anything regarding Jesus Christ, the Bible, whatever, that's fine. Go get the answer. You see what I'm saying? That's okay. Well, I doubt that God loves me. Oh, then you need to read passages about his overwhelming love for you. But I've sinned great sins and I've been, oh, then you need to see the scriptures that Jesus teaches and the Word of God teaches and the prophets teach of your atoning Christ, the redempting Christ, the redeeming Christ. Doubt is the fear, for example, of being on the wrong side. We can become doubtful because am I on the right side of this? We get doubt and fear because of people's opinions. We get doubt, which leads to fear. When we're tempted in our flesh, this is native to all of us, to become embarrassed or ashamed at some moment for Jesus. And you wonder why you didn't speak up in that opportunity for Christ. We miss it. That can all be overcome. But if you have evil intentions to dishonor Christ, to preach another Jesus, another gospel, that's something different. And so Matthew 26, 67, listen to this. Then they began, Jesus is now captured. He's arrested, he's bound. Then they began to spit in Jesus' face. This is the Romans. And beat him. Others struck him with the palms of their hands. The Greek word is specific, not fist. Fist hurt, but fist hurt nothing like an open palm. Did you know you can kill a person with an open palm slap? Did you know that's one of the quick ways to break someone's neck? You can also cause brain damage if you slap them upside the ear. Did you know that? They hit Jesus like that. Did you know that? With open palms hand, they knew exactly what they were doing. They were hitting to kill. And they said, prophesy to us, Christ. Who is the one who struck you? Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied, there's the word, disavow, refute, disown. But he disowned, denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. And when he had gone out, notice he gets further away. With every confession against Christ, he gets further away. And then when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But Peter, he denied with an oath. I do not know the man. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely, now they're calling him Shirley, surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you. The Galileans had an accent. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know. Listen, that word means I'm not aware, and I've never heard of this man. That's what Peter said. And immediately the rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word that Jesus had said to him, that before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And so he went out and wept bitterly. Peter denied. Peter denied out of fear, out of doubt, out of saving his own skin. Peter did not deny out of evil intentions. Are you with me? Denial is not good. You may have found yourself, though, under human pressures to where you denied Jesus. You had the opportunity to speak up and say something. And you've really beaten yourself up since that time. Oh, did I commit blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? Is this the unforgivable sin? No, it is not. Just fortify yourself with the Word of God, because the Word of God in you produces faith, and faith produces boldness in your witness. Amen. Okay? Number two, eyes on, ears on. Watch out and listen for false crowds. Will you write that down, please? False crowds. False ministries create false crowds. 2 Peter 2, verse 2 says, and many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Many. Circle the word many, because it means not a few. The old King James might have it exactly right in that. It's not a few, the crowd. In fact, it's been well said that crowds gather around crowd gatherers. Did you hear that? Listen, crowds gather around a crowd gatherer. That's not a good thing. Well, okay, it's a good thing if you're selling blenders at a fair. Okay, if you're selling a health food drink under an awning at the beach and you've got a crowd, more power to you. We don't care. But if you're trafficking in the world of the souls of men, when a crowd gatherer gathers a crowd with evil intent, heaven and hell are waging in the invisible realm at that location. You say, well, there's a crowd here, and there's going to be crowds here all day. This is just first service. I understand that. And I'm preaching, and I hope for 30 years, this year, 30 years, I hope that I've been preaching the gospel clear and the truth clear, so that you understand I do just about everything possible to keep people from coming to church here. And I'm not joking. Have you noticed? Do you feel it? No, I'm serious. I hope I've not been ever guilty of covering up the hard places of the Bible. I trust I've never watered anything down. And yet people come. So this is a crowd. Does that make you guilty? Or Jack, them guilty? No, we do know this, that when God's word goes out, there is a remnant. And it happens to be, look, on the day of Pentecost, or shortly after, that was a large remnant of a few. Peter preached the gospel. 3,000 people got saved in about 20 minutes' time. The sermon is about 20 minutes in length, it looks like. But if you see somebody gathering a crowd and they're feeding off the crowd and the crowd is becoming dependent upon that person, you've got something going on. And mark it down, please. It will be dangerous. Many will follow them. Many. Poulos is the Greek word. It means numbers in large amounts. It means not a few. It means large, great host. It means the majority. And now you get the picture. Jesus says, broad is the way that leads to eternal destruction, and many are on that path. Are you with me, everybody? Many are on that path. Watch out. And Jesus tells us regarding their end. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 20, therefore, listen to this. Therefore, Jesus says, by their fruits you'll know them. All false ministries and all of false crowds, you'll know them by their fruits eventually. The lifestyle that comes out of the teachings that they're in association with will come out. It will come out. It's going to happen. I don't know if I should say this. Okay, I'll say it. right now here in the Southland, maybe it's nationwide, I don't know. I have literally spoken to parents whose college-age kids finally decided to go to church, and the kids never drank alcohol before and they never smoked before. But because the pastors and the staff and the people who attend those churches drink and smoke, their kids have picked up the habit of drinking and smoking. I had a woman tell me, a mother tell me, my kid was never known to be cussing publicly, and my kid went to a church in LA and started cussing because the pastor cussed from the pulpit. Can raise your hand if you've heard what I'm talking about. You need to know this. Hey, listen, pray and pick your churches that you attend very carefully and biblically. Because somehow, I don't get it, but somehow in the power of spiritual matters, you will become like the ministry that you hang out at. If it allows thus and so and whatever, then you're going to allow thus and so and whatever. If it's, I pray like this church with a high view of Scripture, then you're going to have a high view of Scripture. And that's a big deal. But I was reading Matthew 7, verse 20. You'll know them by their fruit. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, don't raise your hand, but have you ever said, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, that's the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied, preached in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have you cast out demons in his name? There's going to be those who have cast out demons for real in his name. And done many wonders or miracles in your name? And then Jesus said, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. I didn't know who you are. That should unsettle us, huh? Does that bother you? That bothers me. They said one thing publicly, but they lived differently privately. I don't think any of you would appreciate me being somebody in the pulpit, and then you see me around town with what? With money falling out of my pockets and hookers in my arms and in a limo. Yet there's people in the religious world who do that stuff, and they still have millions of followers, sending them millions of dollars. And their defense in that day, they're going to say, didn't I do miracles in your name? And basically the answer is this. Jesus said, I didn't know who you were, but my name was invoked, and I had compassion on that person, and I healed that person. You didn't heal them. I didn't know who you are. Jesus is going to go like this, over there. See that door? See that door with no floor? When you open the door, there's no floor in the bottom of that? That's your door. Okay, I don't know if you follow my Facebook page or not, but I gave you guys fair warning about coming to church today. How many of you saw that? Oh my goodness, okay, thank you. Okay, so I'm not in trouble now because I shot out a disclaimer yesterday that church today may not be for you. And so I'm warning you now. You can go. You have like maybe 3 minutes to run out of here. See the word follow? Many will follow. The word is to walk in the shadow of, or to walk in the pattern of another. Listen, I'll imitate it in a second. By the way, the word is to imitate or to walk like or to replicate or to repeat. You ever seen maybe dad is walking along and he's talking to a friend and his hands are going like this and there's 3-year-old Johnny behind him, his son. And what's his son doing? His son's doing the same thing. Another meaning of the word in a picture sense is if you're walking in dirt or sand or mud and you're walking along and you wonder where your kid or grandkid is, you turn around and they're doing everything they can. To do what? Yep, to place their foot in your footprint. That's what that word means. Many will become just like them. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, and this is absolutely, I thank God for this verse. It is a passage of scripture that is more current than tomorrow. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, now the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, expressly says, wow, we better listen, that in latter times, that's at the time of the end, some will depart from the faith. In other words, professing Christians, with their mouth, they're gonna quit. Giving heed to this, what's the cause? They give heed. Oh my goodness, how do I say this? I can't get through to you. Not because you won't listen, it's because it's probably not urgent enough. Giving heed, it means to allow an audience, to give them an audience. Do you know how many people I talk to who love the Lord and know the Lord, and they get all messed up and sideways, and they come to me and they're all confused because they read some guy's website or some sermon, and they're messed up because why? They gave heed to. Jesus said, be careful what you hear. They gave heed to deceiving spirits. Ooh, that's creepy, right? Invisible things and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared, burned with a hot iron. What is it? If you have to take out a hot iron, burn skin, or maybe some of you have a nasty scar and you can't feel anything there anymore. The Bible says that these false ministries and these false crowds become numb to the Holy Spirit reaching to them truth. And finally, the third consideration as we end today on this point is they'll be fatal. There is a fatality, there's a morbidity about them that has not yet been manifest. It says, because of whom? The false teachers, false ministers, false crowds. The way of truth will be blasphemed, suggesting blasphemy among the world, laughed at by the world. And this is a very serious thing. You saw today an NBC News reporter really making a man of God look like a fool. The way of truth to the uneducated world is being blasphemed by that. That was an embarrassment. Did not represent Christ, in fact, did the opposite. Jesus said in Matthew 23:13, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering in to go or to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. They sit in the place of authority, all the while they undermine the truth of God's word. We end right here. All of this is connected. 1 John 2, verse 18, it says, little children, John speaking to believers, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, if you don't know, were all written to believers. That's important when you read it. My little children, believers, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Verse 19, they went out from us. This ought to make you kind of creepy. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest or known that none of them were of us. They were never converted. They were never born again. They just hung out in church. Verse 22, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist. Who denies the Father and the Son? Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges, the word acknowledge means to make confession of. It means that the heart and the head agree with what's coming out of the mouth, with word and lifestyle. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Strong stuff, powerful stuff, needed stuff. And I said it last week, but There seems to be about five more people here than expected. I said last week, you probably won't come back. And yet this is exactly what we all need. Does a message like this literally have to be edited for Christian radio across the nation? Yeah, absolutely. There's stations that won't play what I just said today. Christian stations. Oh, by the way, some of them are Christian, but they're not owned by Christians. Let alone have it said in a church where it might touch someone's life and rescue them from error. I agree with John. We're in the last hour. We really need to be careful where we put our foot, where we sit down, where we go to church, what we allow into our lives, right? We need to be really, really discerning and careful. Father, we ask of you, Almighty God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, you would come upon us as a house of people that have come together around your word. And Lord, I confess the danger of Sunday mornings. There's so much history in America of Sunday mornings. We all understand that. Somebody could be here because church is what you do on Sunday morning. But that's not true. There could be people here right now because they're very moral people, and this is what you're supposed to do if you're a good person, is to go to church. And yet that's not true. And Father, more than ever, we have people that we can listen to, we can watch, we can read, that we don't know from what kingdom are they from. So Lord God, miraculously cause us to be a people as we ought to be, full of joy and full of rejoicing and full of praise and worship. And at the same time, on the inside, may we be spiritual fruit detectors, that we would be biblical detectives, and that we would be very careful what we see and what we hear, just like our own nation is asking us. You see something, say something. Lord, as a church family, if we see something, if we hear something, give us remind us that you have given us already the power of the Holy Spirit to do something. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his resurrection from the dead for our justification. May we as a body of believers trust in him fully. And all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio in his message called Eyes On, Ears On, Part 2. We're glad you joined us today. Eyes On, Ears On, Part 2. Is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, A Study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, just a reminder that Pastor Jack really is there for you on Instagram and Facebook. Not only does he offer words of encouragement, but also important updates on what's happening in the world all around us. Pastor Jack also shares upcoming events that you don't want to miss, and even a personal family video or two. The Apostle Peter, well, he could only share with us in his letters. And Pastor Jack is involved in social media, as it's a great way to provide the biblical worldview in a culture bent on destroying the good news of the gospel and our Christian values. Now, you can easily access Pastor Jack's Instagram and Facebook page at our website, jackhibbs.com. When you get there, click on that Discover icon. Again, that's jackhibbs.com, and click on Discover. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time, here on Real Radio.